maybe even this morning, you can deal with that. Or maybe you've got more questions about it. Well, come and ask questions of myself, of Doug, if you're in a small group, a small group leader. Or maybe go on the Alpha course that Paul was mentioning earlier. Okay, so that was the dividing wall between God and us. But what about between each other? It says this, Paul goes on to say this. The Messiah has made up between us so that we're now together on this. Both non-Jewish outsiders and Jewish insiders. He tore down the wall we used to keep each other at a distance. He repealed the law code and had become so clogged with fine print and footnotes that it hindered more than it helped. Then he started over. Instead of continuing with two groups of people separated by centuries of animosity, big word there for you this morning, animosity, it means hating each other. Instead of hating each other and suspicion, he created a new kind of human being, a fresh start for everybody. Christ brought us together through his death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace, and that was the end of the hostility. Christ came and preached peace to you outsiders and peace to us insiders. He treated us as equals and so made us equals. Through him, we both share the same spirit and have equal access to the Father. Okay, so he's talking about this dividing wall that become between each other. Now, Paul is writing this letter to a particular church. It's helpful for the rest of us, but he starts with a particular church. And he's talking about two particular groups. Here he says, the non-Jewish and the Jewish. Another word they sometimes use for non-Jewish is Gentiles. And he talks about these two groups. So in this church, there are the Jewish people who have always been kind of the God's chosen people. The Old Testament is all about their journey with God. And when we get to the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, when Jesus comes, actually he's saying, no, actually, there's no longer two groups. You're now one. There's no dividing wall. You can all enjoy God, and you're all now one family. The Jewish and non-Jewish thing was a big deal for their church. It was a massive dividing wall for them. The Jewish people were so convinced that they were God's people. And they knew that they were not to mingle with other people. They were to be God's people, keep themselves holy and separate. But actually, they pushed it too far. Like it said in that passage, they added footnotes and they added kind of fine print. They added lots of little bits and pieces. So instead of not just being separate, they started hating non-Jewish people. When actually, they were meant to be a blessing to non-Jewish people. To the extreme that if you were a Jewish person, a guy or a girl, and you decided to get married to a non-Jewish person, you just like to get married. On the day of your wedding, your Jewish family would hold a funeral. They would say, you are dead to us. If you're going to marry outside of us, then you are dead to us. We no longer count you as one of our own. You're dead to us. They were pretty extreme about it. They also had a temple. This is the temple. This is a plan of the temple that was in Jerusalem originally. And here it says, it's a bit small here. It says the court of the Gentiles. This big area. I feel a bit like a weatherman. This weather here. There's a cold front coming in. It's the court of the Gentiles. This is where the non-Jewish. They had a place in the temple, but it was outside of the real goings on. This is where the Jewish could be. The non-Jewish could come into the temple, but they could only come in this outside bit. This outside bit is, it should have been a place for prayer, but often it was just used as a place to do trading and business in the temple. They weren't able to come in. That's how it was. When Jesus came, he tore the wall apart, tore the curtain in two. So now because of Christ, dying that death, shedding that blood, you who are once out of it, anyone non-Jewish here? Vast majority, okay. Those who are out of it, altogether are now in on everything. Suddenly we can have access right into the temple, okay? And also this is a physical thing, but now it's a spiritual thing. Actually, we can now all have access to God. It's not just about the Jewish people, it's about all people. There's no division anymore. God said, I know all people can enjoy me, know me, love me, and I'm going to love them. And they could all be together as equals. I treat them as equals, and now they can be equals. And I'm their father, father to all of them, not just the Jewish people. But, race course, we don't have a lot of issues with the Jewish, non-Jewish divide here, unless I'm missing something. Maybe there's some rumblings underneath, but I haven't really noticed it. But there are other divisions, aren't there? For us, between me and other people, or between you and other people, there are divisions that can fall at times. Our society is very, very divided. People are always looking for divisions. We think we want peace, but actually there's division everywhere. I don't know whether you saw it in the news recently. The BBC did a big class survey. Has anyone filled that in online? Maybe a few of you. Okay, they did this big survey, 161,000 people, to try and work out whether the whole upper class, middle class, and working class thing still really counts. Does it really work on our society? And they said no. They said no, there's not three classes anymore. There's now seven. So where there were three divisions, there's now seven divisions. You can go online, you can do the survey and find out where you are in it. And it's divided upon kind of lines of how much money you've got, how much you can earn, things like who you socialize with, what kind of culture you're into. But there's lots of kind of ways of dividing up, putting people into different groups. All that in the news recently, North and South Korea, again, going at it type thing. You know, so the point is they're shutting down borders again so people can't travel between the two. It's all kind of, it's very messy. And that's just one country. There's countries all around the world where just division is right down the middle. There's different clans or groups that are coming against one another. We see it all the time. Maybe back home, not quite as serious maybe, but Brighton Crystal Palace, there's a pretty big division and some of that's just good banter. Yes, thank you, Sean. So I talked about the fact I went to see them a couple of weeks ago, and I'm sitting there, and the place is packed, okay, 28,000 people. But they could have fit another 1,000 people in, but they have to leave 1,000 seats free between Charlton and Brighton that week because they can't have their fans sitting too close together. That would just be trouble. So there's 1,000 seats that are needed. And there's some kind of division there. And you think, oh, it's just healthy competition. And then the chanting starts. And the Crystal Palace aren't even there. This is Charlton versus Brighton. But the chant is, we hate Palace, we hate Palace, we hate Palace more than you. It's just like, Crystal Palace aren't even there. But you're still celebrating that you hate them that so much. And so the vision isn't just like, oh, it's there. It's even celebrated in lots of ways. So, yeah, it's a bit funny, but it's pretty serious as well. About divorce. Divorce comes from the word divide. They come from the same kind of root, don't they? But divorce is rife. Even relationships that we intend on keeping together still break down. They suddenly divide. They're divided. It's pretty serious. There's division everywhere. And our society is full of it. And people divide things in all kinds of different lines. And division can get into the church, can't it? Maybe you've experienced this. Paul knows it. Paul knows that division gets into the church. He writes to a couple of other churches. He writes to the church in Corinth and says this. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Paul is so eager that there's not division amongst people in the church. He's saying, you know what? Even if someone has treated you bad, hey, take the bad treatment rather than living in division. Rather be wronged than upset everything in that way type of thing. He's saying, no, don't let division get in. What about this one? You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. What does that mean? It means indulge yourself. Okay, Christ has saved you, but don't now indulge yourself. Don't make it all about you. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we have choices all the time. We can choose ourselves. Can I choose to think, I want to choose my territory, my castle, my way of things. I want to protect my heart. Or we can choose, actually, no, in humility, I'm going to serve and love one another. And it doesn't mean love your neighbor. It doesn't mean for me, number 78 walkway. No, it means those people you do life with. Okay, those people you have interactions with, people at work, your family, yes, your neighbors, your friends, people on the school gate, people at college, your university. Love your neighbor as yourself. So you think, oh, you've heard it so many times, sometimes it just washes over you. But I'm pretty good at loving myself, let me assure you. You know, I don't skimp on the best of myself often. I'm thinking, no, I'll have this and that. Do you know what I mean? I know how it is to bless myself type thing. But it's saying, I know, actually, that kind of sense of I want to give the best of myself, actually, we want to give the best for other people. And that helps break down dividing walls. Of this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So he's saying, do not conform. It's like, don't be like the world. The church should look different to how the world looks. It should look different. There shouldn't be the same kind of division within the church that is elsewhere. It does creep in, but it shouldn't be the case. He's saying we've got to look different. We've got to transform our minds, looking at the gospel, and so we're different. Has anyone seen Jeremy Carl? Shame on you. Some people nodded, I'm not putting my hand up to it, but I'll hear it or not. I've actually never seen Jeremy Carl, but I have watched, probably back in the day, I used to watch Ricky Lake. Does anyone remember Ricky Lake? So I used to look at that. And that program is based on the fact that people want to get each other type thing. It celebrates, like Jeremy Carl, that celebrates the arguments and the divisions. And they're saying, yeah, you go, girl. You tell her that she wasn't right to say that to you. You know, it's that kind of thing. Don't let her put you in the corner. You should need to fight for your own rights. You're important. So all about building each other up and saying, no, I can have it my way. Say, no, don't be like that. Don't be different. And, you know, maybe you're not like that. Maybe it's more of an internal thing. We're to look different. Let your light shine before others. They may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I want people in the city of Brighton Hove to know Jesus. That's one of my prayers. And I know that by telling them, they're going to find out about it. But I know they're going to look at my life and they're going to look at the church and they're going to see what we are like. And the church gets a pretty bad press, doesn't it? If the church messes up, actually it makes the headlines. And I want us to make the headlines for different things. People say, you know what, you are an amazing community that really loves each other. And what a different array of people you have in your room. Why do you all get on? How can there be friendships along different social classes, different races, and different types of people? How is that possible? How are there Crystal Palace fans and Brighton fans in the same room? How is that possible? It's because of Jesus. Actually, you know what? We love Jesus and he brings us together, that we can be a community, that we can be a family. And that in this passage, in the passage that I started with as well, it talks about our Father in heaven. And that we're his children. And as a father, when I see my kids getting each other and they're fighting, it grieves me. I'm like, no, I want you to love each other. I want you to be for each other type of thing. I don't want there to be division within my family. How much more when God looks at his church and thinks, oh, don't be divided. Don't be like that. So I want to be together because that's God's plan. I will be a family who loves one another, where there's no dividing lines. We also want to do it so that others might see him as well. But how do walls get built? How do these dividing walls get built? Well, they get built in two ways. One, they get a trowel out, and other people are different from us. And that puts walls up. When people are different, that whole suspicion thing creeps in. We don't really know them. We don't really know what they're thinking. They've got a different background to us. They've got different ways of doing things. Sometimes that makes us a bit suspicious. That can put some walls up. That makes it feel uncomfortable. We're not going to enter fully into a relationship with them. Or maybe they're a bit odd. Yes. Sean's put his hand up, but you can all put your hands up. Turn to the next person next to you and say, you are odd. Because you are all odd to someone. Some of you are saying it with real enthusiasm. You are all odd to someone. If you don't think, oh, those people are a bit odd. You know, we're all odd to someone. Then they are always the slight odd uncle in the bunch. I understand that type of thing, some odd ones. But you know, because of Jesus, actually we love the odd ones as well. Okay. Sometimes the dividing walls go up because people are immature. They don't relate to us in a mature way. Or maybe they're insensitive. Maybe that's happened to you. I know I've been hurt because people have sometimes been insensitive. I work for the church, and so I work with church people all week long. And you know what? Church people are perfect. And so they've never offended, don't they? Yeah, let me tell you, that's not true. I'm too quick. Thank you. Yes, people are insensitive. And there's one person on staff who I was in a meeting with in recent months, and they're incredibly insensitive to me. I was trying to make a point in a meeting, trying to put across something, and they just were not listening to me. They were too busy trying to make their own point, and insensitive to the fact that actually my heart was involved here. I wasn't just trying to make a point, but actually this affected who I am and where things were going and stuff, and I just felt really unlistened to, really misunderstood. And I was so cross that they were just... they're just so insensitive, and I think, and just a bit dismissive, really. And it's because sometimes people are like that, and it hurts, and it puts up dividing walls between people. People are proud, aren't they? Like I discussed earlier, sometimes people want things their way, and pride can really get in the way. They think they're better than you, or they can treat you as less. Sometimes just they just put themselves before your needs. That's too proud to get involved type of thing. And you're working your guts out. You're trying to be lead with humility. And that they're proud and doing their own thing. That's something that hurts. Sometimes people are downright offensive, aren't they? Even in church. Yes, even in church. People say mean things. And sometimes they mean it as well. They're trying to be mean because there's still something of sin in them. They are sinful people. Oh, my clicker's still working again. People are sinful. People are just downright sinful. There's not one person here who doesn't have a bit of sin left in them. So we're going to sin against one another. We're going to get it wrong and we're going to mess up. Church is not a place for perfect people. It's for imperfect people to come and meet the perfect God. That's how it works. So you don't feel good enough this morning? You're not. But you're really welcome. Okay. We're sinful people, so we're going to get hurt. And so the dividing walls naturally get built. Every time you get hurt, you can put a brick on that wall and it gets built. Built between you and other people. So other people are a problem, aren't they? But you know what? So am I. Got my little cement mix here. I'm doing some more building. Okay. Well, I'm forgiving. So I was talking about this guy who'd be insensitive to me. I hadn't listened and stuff. But I was unforgiving. I actually said in my heart, I actually said kind of to someone else, so this person has really annoyed me. I didn't necessarily use those words. And I said, you know what? I forgive them though. I forgive them. It's fine. Next week I met up with a person like, how are you feeling towards that person? Oh, I hate them. I was like, oh, I think I might have said the words but not meant it type thing. And then I really worked it through. I was like, no, I'm going to forgive this person. And I thought, oh, I think I'm through. I hadn't seen him for a week or so. I thought, oh, I feel really good towards them. And turned up at church and we stood there to worship and they put their hands up to worship and I was just like, oh, how dare you worship? How very dare you when you have so offended me? We can be unforgiving. And that keeps the walls up and it builds them. It doesn't bring them down. You know, I had every right to be angry at that person. But being unforgiving, being forgiving, saying, actually, you know, I'm going to take away that right. Actually, God, that's yours, not mine, actually. And I'm going to forgive. So unforgiving, that gets in the way. Being comfortable. Our desire to be comfortable can keep walls up and even build walls. Okay, so if there's someone who's immature or insensitive to you, or something's a bit different to you, it's uncomfortable to get into a relationship with them and live in community with them. So sometimes we choose the comfortable thing. We think, actually, I'll just keep them at arm's length. I'll just give them a kind of little nod on a Sunday, but I'm not going to enter into a relationship. I'm not going to enter into a conversation with them. I'm not going to do life with them. I'm going to remain comfortable. And that builds walls. It's not a case of like, it's not just neutral. No, that puts walls up. Because actually, it's a form of pride. It's saying, no, I want things my way. I want to stay comfortable. What about bitterness? When we leave things unchecked, okay, bitterness can grow. So sometimes we have been offended by people. And I don't know what kind of person you are. Some people, they like confrontation. Some people hate confrontation. And you're somewhere on that spectrum. I am definitely on the confrontation end of things. Okay, so I don't often get bitter because I'm just going to have it out with a person, which isn't right either. There's other people who at the other end think, I'm going to deal with it. I'm just going to bury it. But what happens if you bury things? It's like a seed and it goes in. Actually, it just grows inside. And eventually it will come out. It might not come out towards that person, but it's going to come out in some way. It's going to grow and it's going to fester. It's not very nice. That's bitterness. And so I know some people are like that. I'm married to one of those, actually, who's not bitter and festering, but who doesn't like confrontation. And so we've had to work really hard in our marriage to know how to work through different issues. Because very occasionally, I get things wrong. Very occasionally. Thanks. And my wife needs to talk to me about those things. So I have to encourage her to draw her out, give her safe space to say, no, actually, this is wrong. And so she's had to learn, actually, just burying it doesn't help her, and it doesn't help our marriage, actually. It's important to talk things out. And that's the same with the church community. If you've been offended by someone, sometimes you can just forgive them, and you can cover it with love. But other times, actually, you need to go to that person, and you need to talk to them. And the Bible talks really clearly about that. You know, don't go and talk to someone else. You need to go and talk to that person. Say, you know what? You've actually really offended me. I don't know whether you meant to, but what you've said has done this. Or I felt you were a bit insensitive towards me. At which point they may say, look, I'm really, really sorry. And I may say, I don't care. But either way, it's important you speak it out. Okay, and say, you know, actually, I've been a bit offended by this. Because then there's a chance for you to be reconciled and to bring down the wall again type thing. You've still got to forgive. You've still got to work that through. But don't let bitterness, don't think burying it is a way of bringing the wall down. It's not. Sometimes it's important to confront, actually, and confront in the right way. You're not confronting the person, you're confronting the problem. Okay. Why is my clicker not working? Oh, technology's failing me today. So the next one is to be proud. Oh, Roland, what case? Proud creeps into us as well. Sometimes we think it's about other people, but it's not. It's about us. We think, oh, that person's being proud. They're doing that and the other. But actually, you're thinking, oh, it's just because my pride's ruining its hair. I want them to do things my way and to live in my way of doing things. Can you just click it on for me? Can you just press right, Ethan? Ah, guarded. Okay, great. Okay, you can be guarded sometimes. You're saying, actually, I've been hurt in the past. You think, I've been hurt. Maybe you've been hurt in church before. I was once part of what almost happened to be a very nasty church split. It didn't in the end, which was great. But it was a horrible season of church life where things were going very badly, where the leaders of the church that I was in were having quite a big kind of spat. And it was very, very, very messy. And it can be tempting then to think, actually, I don't want to go through that kind of pain again. And so I'm not going to enter into a relationship. I'm not going to get too close. I'll come on a Sunday, but that's it. No more. And that's not great. Part of being community, part of bringing walls down between you and other people is that you might get hurt. In fact, you will get hurt. Actually, that's what, in church, you are going to get hurt. If your expectation is that, oh, you're church people, you're going to be perfect, then you have got wrong expectations. You'll get hurt. I'll hurt you. That's just how it works, because we're not perfect people. I mean, we have different expectations of what we want to get out of things, but don't be guarded. Actually, still give yourself to being in church community. What about this? Apathetic. Apathy brings walls up as well. Apathy means kind of not caring. That's basically what you're saying I'm apathetic, I'll pick and choose which bits of church life I want. Actually, that puts walls up. She's saying, I don't actually care about the whole thing. And Jesus speaks pretty strongly about that. Because Jesus, the church, is Jesus' bride. If you turned up to me in my house, say, Austin, I'd love to meet with you, but I don't want to see your wife. She's a bit of a skank. I don't really care about her. There would be trouble. There would be trouble. There would be. You can't say, hey, I love God, but I don't care for his church. The two don't go together. You have to do both. Because you care for God, no divine walls between him. But then you need to take divine walls between you and the church. That means you need to get involved. Get involved with a Sunday team. Get involved with a small group. Get into people's lives any way you can to live with them. Okay. So how do walls get built? That's some of the ways. How do dividing walls get torn down? That's a question for you. How do we tear these ones down? Well, I could give you lots of top tips. I could give you lots of different tools you could use. That whole thing about, making sure you're good at confronting. And those are good and wise. And if you're having an issue with someone, I'd love to talk to you and give you advice and help walk you through that and pray with you about it. But if we all do is just try our own kind of energies, our own abilities. It's a bit like this. It's a bit like a toy hammer. It's not going to do much damage, if any damage at all. Okay, if we really want to take down dividing walls that are between us, we need one of these. We need the sledgehammer of the gospel. That's what we need. Okay, if we're going to take dividing walls down, this is what we need. So if people are odd and different and they're difficult to relate to, we pick up the sledgehammer of the gospel and we realize, you know what? I am odd. I am different. I am difficult. You know what? Jesus loved me enough to divide the wall between me and him. So that actually he loved me even though I'm a bit odd and different and difficult to deal with. Actually, he smashed it down. He said, you know what? I got to love you anyway. I want to be in relationship with you. I'm God. I'm totally other. You're human. You're totally messed up. But I'm going to take that dividing wall down and be in relationship with you. Or maybe people are a bit immature and insensitive. You know what? You are immature and insensitive. You are not the mature, Jesus-like person that God is going to make you. You're not there yet. But you know, God took them aside from me too. He smashed it and said, you know what? Come as you are. You haven't got it all together yet. You don't understand everything, but I love you and I want to be in relationship with you. And hey, when you know that, then you can go and do the same. Say, you know what? Yeah, they don't get it all. And sometimes they're insensitive. Sometimes it offends me. But you know what? That's not going to stop me from loving them. Or maybe it's because they're sinful. They're downright offensive. You know what? You are downright offensive to God. everything you think that is wrong, everything you've done that is wrong, everything you've said that is wrong, they're all offensive to God. It's like a stench in his nostrils. It's like the smell of death, those things that you have done. But his love for you took a sledgehammer to that. Smashed it again. It's like, you know what? I'm going to come and love you. I'm going to pay the price for them. I'm going to die on the cross for the wrong things you've done. And it's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt me more than you'll ever know. More than you'll ever really be able to comprehend what happened at the cross. But I'm going to do it because I love you. And I love you. And I love you. For what you've said, thought, and done that is wrong. And I'm going to still love you, even though it hurt me. So yeah, I'm going to work on those walls coming down, even if it means I'm going to be wronged. I know I've had to counsel a couple of people who've been wronged by other people in the church. I've had to ask them the question, what's more important? Is it more important that you get the right outcome? Or is it more important that you love this person, you stay in a relationship with them? And that's not an easy thing. I'm not saying that is easy. I mean, you have to make a real choice. You have to count the cost and say, you know what? I'm going to count the cost like Jesus did. And I'm going to choose to be wronged, even in this situation with that person, because this relationship is more important. It's more important that I love them and I stay in relationship, that I take dividing walls down. Because you can be right, but you can still put the wall up at the same time. So you want to be right with people. So take the sledgehammer of the gospel to the dividing walls that are with you.